whole life reading Quran and trying to understand Tawheed, and then what? You're going to go there and worship a stone? I mean, come on. This is ridiculous, okay? You know, maybe there are a few people here and there who don't understand this matter, right. But this is not the way that the vast majority of Muslims perceive the matter, whether it's Shia or Sunni. And, you know, sometimes people get emotional. So, you know, that's good. Let them... It's not that, you know, this emotion... Obviously, their belief has to be based on reason and a proper understanding of the place of the Prophet. So, you know, it's not that your religion should be emotional, right. But people get emotional, obviously. I mean, you know, you get connected to somebody who is very dear to you, which, you know, the Prophet is the dearest to all of us. You know, dearer to us than our own parents and our own children and whoever it is that we find, you know, that we love in our lives, in our personal lives. Well, you know, more than that, it's the Prophet, peace be upon him. And, you know, by many degrees. So obviously you're going to get a little emotional. Obviously you're going to, you know, maybe cry, or you're going to, you know, say certain things that are in your heart that you wouldn't say to other people and to other personalities. And so this is not a bad thing. This is evidence of your deep love for the Prophet, peace be upon him. And why do we love the Prophet? And again, this is something maybe we should have discussed this in other programs, but it's good. We need to mention this. So we talk about the Prophet and, you know, the amount of love that we have and, you know, that he guided us and that, you know, we have Unity Week and, you know, we have all the things that are, you know, that we have talked about and that we do when it regarding the Prophet. So why is the Prophet, you know, who is the Prophet?
Right.
So I think it's good if we spend a little time talking about that. And the point I want to make here, and this is more a religious discussion than it is a political or other kind of discussion or biographical in terms of Imam Khomeini, is, you know, we have to understand this whole thing regarding the Prophet goes back to Islam itself. And what is Islam, and why would God, you know, reveal such a religion? And then who is the person that would have to reveal it. So, you know, if we try to think about it a little bit and we try to increase our understanding of this whole affair, this will, I think, lead us to love and to be close to the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt in a way that maybe is of a higher degree or is of a better quality. So what we can start off with is thinking, well, you know, one of the things that we say and one of the things that we believe and one of the things that is rationally clear and obvious and as they say, doesn't require proof is that God is perfect. Okay? That's in the very definition of God. When you say God, when you say, you know, that absolute existence, however you want to say it, that thing which we have called God, in its very essence and in its very definition, that is equal to perfection. Okay?
Right.
So you don't have to prove his perfection. In other words, when you... The very conception, or the as they say, the tasavvur, the conception of this thing that we call God, in it is the idea of perfection. It is nothing but perfection.
Right.
Okay? Can we agree on that?
That sounds good.
Is that good?
Definitely.
I think that's, you know... That's a good way of looking at God as the perfect, or as, you know, the complete. When we have things like the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the beginning before the beginning, the end after the end, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about it's absolute. It's absolute perfection. So, when you have such a God, obviously such a God would not send a program or devise a program or have a program, whether it's the actual program itself or the way this program is being, you know, transmitted, that would be imperfect.
Naturally.
Can we agree on that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So if something is perfect, because that's part of his perfection.
Of course.
Part of his, it's not simply that he is some sort of thing, you know, floating that's perfect and, you know, we look at him and we go, oh, you're perfect. But then his action is somehow not perfect.
Exactly. Well, that would cancel out his perfection, no?
Exactly. So in that is when we say perfect, we're talking about his actions.
Of course.
Is perfect. What he does and how he's conceived it, or he doesn't even conceive. the way he acts and the way he is and the way he acts, there's no distinction between what he is and how he acts. This is why we have, for example, in the ayat in the Quran, we talk about kun fayakun, you know?
Right.
It's not about, there's no time and space and difference between,
mm-hmm.
you know, that which is and the creation of that thing. The very,
exactly.
the creation of that thing is that
is
thing.
That thing.
Okay? So, when we say he's perfect, that has in it, again, intrinsically, the idea that whatever program he has for his creatures and his creation, and the way that this program is transmitted, will be perfect. Is perfect. I don't even want to say will be perfect, because that's the future tense.
Right.
It's perfect. Okay? So, therefore, we can see here and we can understand here that Islam, which is the program that Allah has for humans, and the revelation of Islam, which is Quran,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, is perfect. And, of course, the person,
yep.
the prophet,
right.
the messenger bringing the message
right.
has to be perfect. You can't have a perfect God sending a perfect message,
right.
you know, in the form of a perfect and final and complete revelation being given to us by an imperfect being, by an imperfect agent of this
right.
of this transmission, an imperfect agent of transmission. That agent of transmission has to be perfect themselves, itself, himself. Okay?
Exactly.
So this is how we understand the Prophet is perfect. Not perfect in the sense of divine perfection, because that's a different matter, but in terms of being the perfect human being, being the most complete human being, being the complete human being, we can't even say the most complete, but being the complete human being, being the absolute, complete, perfect manifestations of divine characteristics and names, those being the manifestation of God on earth. Not in the way that they talk about, astaghfirullah, you know, Jesus in Trinity and in Christianity the
right.
way we have it today, not as an embodiment of God, he
right.
is not God. He is the manifestation of the names and characteristics of God.
Right. Well, definitely those concepts of honesty and justice
exactly.
and...
Exactly. Everything.
Everything.
Okay. So, this is why we love the Prophet. Is that a good reason to love somebody?
Yes, of course. Well, better a perfect person than an imperfect person.
Right. So better to you know, have the thing that is the object of our love being something perfect
of
and
course.
Being the perfect creation and the perfect human than just some emotional thing because, you know, we thought maybe our parents would like it if
exactly.
we liked the Prophet.
Right, right.
So I'm giving little, you know, coded messages here, you know, that why your belief should be based on what
yeah.
you actually understand. And your relationship, your personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your personal relationship with the Prophet, peace be upon him, as God's messenger. I mean, that itself is the highest status that one could say about any being, which is that you're the messenger of God.
Definitely.
And remember, we have it in the Quran. This is not something that, you know, we claim. This is in the Quran that his status was even higher than that of Gabriel, who is the closest angel, an archangel,
mm-hmm.
as they say, to of God. He was the one that God would give it to the Jibril,
mm-hmm.
and that would then be transmitted
right.
to the Prophet. But then we have at some point where there is a direct connection
exactly.
between the Prophet, peace be upon him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a point where he goes into the heavens, which is the Mi'raj,
mm-hmm.
where at that point, you know, Jibril no longer comes. Goes for a, and it's interesting. It's as Jibril himself is saying, I can't come further with you. This
yeah.
is I'm not allowed to come further than this.
So
you know that's a pretty high station.
Very, very much so.
So we have this perfect God, and we have this perfect program. And remember, I like, you know, I'm purposely calling it, you know, program. I'm not calling it, you know, religion. I'm calling it program. This program for the perfection of our soul and the perfection of humanity. And we have the perfect messenger, right? So you would think that this would be enough reason for us to be united. And you would think that some of these people would actually step back for a moment, sit back, chill out, mm-hmm. think a little bit about, you know, what immense weight and immense blessing this all is, and actually start using their intelligence and their logic and their reason, and decide that, you know what, maybe going and saying certain things and doing certain things is not the best way forward. And it's interesting, we see Imam Khomeini talking about, you know, in this section that we heard, he's talking about things like, well, let's see who acts according to their book. Let's see what those who follow, they say, those who say that they follow Prophet Musa, peace be upon him, you know, let's see what he did and let's see what they, how they act. Mm-hmm. Let's see those who say that they follow Prophet Isa, peace be upon him. You know, what did Prophet Isa, Hazrat Isa do, and how do they behave? And then he goes and he says at the end, he says, okay, let's see those who say that they follow the Prophet, peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, let's see, you know, we all know what he did, and let's see how you act. Okay? So Imam Khomeini is actually being pretty clear about this matter. Again, and we're saying this to ourselves first. We're not claiming any kind of, you know, higher station than anyone, or any kind of, you know, action that's you know, whatever, better that we're better than anyone. We say this first to ourselves, that when you have in the Prophet an example, in this perfect human being, you know, you don't really have any more excuses. You really, this is about hujjat. You know, when we talk about hujjat, in the school of Ahlul Bayt, and obviously in the other schools as well, we talk about things being hujjat, things being authoritative, things being, you know, you no longer can bring an excuse at some point, because all that had to be told to you and all that you had to understand was told to you, was said to you, and you know, it's just a matter of you acting on it or not. When, you know, one day, as all of us will be, you know, going to the next world, and we will be confronted with what we did, you know, the hujjat is going to be the Prophet, peace be upon him. It's going to be where, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can say to us then, you know, I sent you this perfect Prophet, and, you know, I told you to follow his example, and he did everything perfectly the way he was supposed to.
Right. And where did you go wrong?
And what did you do? Now, it's interesting, because you would think that, you know, that which is the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that being, you know, and he is, obviously the Prophet is the most beloved. And then you have ayahs in the Quran which are very interesting, which say things like, you know, this is the word from Allah, this is, you know, brought down revelation from Allah, from God, brought down. And if he had not conveyed it correctly, what does it say in the Quran? It says we would have cut off his aorta. Aorta is that main vein in the body, okay? Anybody who knows a little anatomy, that's right. Like the major vein in your body, which if it's cut, that's it, you're dead.
That's it, right.
There's no turning back. So here it is, God saying in his revelation, saying, you know, to about his beloved, saying that if he hadn't done this correctly, I would have killed him. And then there, and it's interesting, the next ayah is, and none of you could have done anything about it. Okay, it's pretty heavy.
Very heavy, yeah. Enough pressure, I think.
Right, so the point is that it's about that perfect message from the perfect God being conveyed by the perfect person.
May we all be worthy enough to follow the
inshallah
true prophet of Islam and his religion. Thanks again for joining us. Until next time. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطية أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك.
Brothers and sisters, the phrase under discussion was the part where Imam عليه السلام says, اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. O Allah, forgive me the sins which hold back supplication. In order to talk about this phrase more, we had a quick look at Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's tradition, in which Imam alayhi salam considers seven sins which prevent the acceptance of supplications by Almighty. The first was bad intentions and the second hidden vices. And today, we will talk about mistrust as one of the hidden vices that prevent the acceptance of prayers. So the word mistrust can have different implications and connotations, but in our case, it means being suspicious of Allah or His friends and the Muslims. And this is an obscene, although hidden sin, which is recorded in the Book of Deeds. And it is accounted for on the Day of Resurrection and chastised severely, as the traditions suggest. Of course, there is one exception to this, and the exception is the one who can repent in this world. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمًا. O you who believe, avoid suspicion as much as possible, for suspicion, in some cases, is a sin. In this regard, we have a rather long tradition from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He starts saying, "Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa hu, ma u'tiya mu'minun khayra ad-dunya wal akhirah illa bi husni dhannihi billah wa raja'ihi lah. I swear by God, who has no partners, that no good of this world or hereafter has been granted to any believer except due to his good opinion about God, his good behavior, وَحُسْنِ خُلْقِهِ وَالْكَفِّ عَنِ اغْتِيَابِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and his avoidance of gossiping and slandering. وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَا يُعَذِّبُ اللَّهُ مُؤْمِنًا بَعْدَ التَّوْبَةِ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ إِلَّا بِسُوءِ ظَنِّهِ بِاللَّهِ وَتَقْصِيرٍ مِّنْ رَجَائِهِ لِلَّهِ وَسُوءِ خُلْقِهِ وَاغْتِيَابِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And I swear by God, who has no partners, that God will not punish anyone after repentance and seeking forgiveness, except due to his bad opinion about God, insufficient hope in God, bad behavior and gossiping about believers.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have heard. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues, لا يحسن ظن عبد مؤمن بالله إلا كان الله عند ظن عبده المؤمن. I swear by God who has no partners that there are no believers who have a good opinion about God and receive anything less than what they expect from Him. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ كَرِيمٌ بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرَاتِ يَسْتَحْيِي أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدُهُ الْمُؤْمِنُ قَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِهِ الظَّنَّ وَالرَّجَاءَ ثُمَّ يُخْلِفُ ظَنَّهُ وَالرَّجَاءَ. This is so since God is benevolent and has authority over all that is good, and is ashamed if one of His servants have a good opinion about Him and he acts on the contrary. And at the end, the Prophet says, فَأَحْسِنُوا بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ وَارْغَبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Therefore, have a good opinion about God and be inclined to Him. So, a believer who has the virtues of belief, good morality, behavior, should be hopeful of Almighty Allah's mercy and avoid any doubts about Him. These doubts, dear listeners, will originate in the mind and heart of the Muslims and believers. What the evildoers and what specifically Satan is looking forward to find. Because insufficient hope in God will turn men and women, all human beings, into the slaves of Satan. Because whether you have lots of good deeds or you have lots of wrongdoings, insufficient hope in God means not believing in Him. It means mistrust. And this means your prayers will not be accepted, and as a result, you will be away from the station of the Almighty Allah's mercy. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
light.
Last year, a powerful explosion in Beirut turned life around for thousands of Lebanese. Now, a number of people have decided to build a monument in honor of the victims of the terrible accident. 27 individuals and organizations have pooled their efforts to build a giant 25-meter sculpture at the site of last August's explosion. The artwork is called Gesture and is made out of reclaimed metal debris. It looks like it's handing a flower to the city of Beirut. When completed, Gesture will also have a water and light installation. The project was conceived and designed by Nadim Karam, one of Lebanon's most celebrated artists.
Cats are notoriously volatile animals, as we all know. One moment they are purring for your attention, and the next they can't stand being touched. Now, a Canadian firm has come up with an app that can help you better understand your feline friends. The app is called Tabli and works with artificial intelligence. The AI's algorithm was trained at a clinic in the city of Calgary. The developers of Tabli hope their product can be useful for novice cat owners and vets alike. The app can also help monitor the health of cats. Tabli's developer explains how the app functions.
It uses artificial intelligence, so specifically machine learning, and it's coupled with the feline grimace scale. And what the feline grimace scale is, it's a way for humans to be able to determine if a cat is in pain or not based on the ear positioning, the eye positioning, the muzzle, whiskers, things like that. And so we were able to train a machine using machine learning and a series of images to be able to make that determination. So if you're somebody who has a cat but you don't have that training, you can just use the app and it can help you determine this, how your cat is doing.
Sounds very useful, but Tabli is not perfect though and runs into problems when trying to decipher the mood of black cats. Despite the hiccups, the developers say the program will get better at doing its task as its artificial intelligence develops through practice. Humans have damaged the environment, perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Known in Cyprus as Birdman, 28-year-old Konstantinos Antonio is a wildlife veterinarian. Every year, he saves hundreds of sick or wounded wild birds. The animals brought to him are usually found by regular people. Konstantinos says climate change has made the task of assisting birds more urgent as their survival becomes harder and harder. The Cypriot environmentalist usually frees the animals after treatment in the presence of other people in order to raise awareness about the issue. A vertical forest has transformed the Chinese megacity of Chengdu into a concrete jungle, making the lives of the residents greener. Each unit at the 8-tower complex has a balcony with around 20 types of luxuriant plants and greenery. The green space filters air and noise pollution while creating a spectacular view. The project in the southwestern city was completed in 2018, and all of the 826 apartments were sold out at the time.
I think it's quite good. The air quality is pretty good and much better than my old houses. The air is good when you wake up in the morning, and the green trees are good for us elderly people. They are good for our eyes.
Besides all the benefits, the apartments have a major problem. They have been overrun by plants and invaded by mosquitoes. The issue has forced some of the occupants to move out. Other cities around the world, such as New York and Copenhagen, have also launched similar green housing projects.
The best visited multimedia exhibit in the world known as Van Gogh Live The experience has opened in Munich after being postponed a number of times due to COVID-19.
Van Gogh is einfach der berühmteste.
Van Gogh is just the most famous artist in the world. He is also a prototype artist. He is the lost artist who then tragically dies at the end. His life story was just fascinating, and that's why he is Van Gogh. And of course, his artworks are fascinating.
Featuring some of Van Gogh's best-known works, the exhibition is not only a feast for the eyes, but the senses, with music and smells to accompany the colorful projections. The exhibit is supposed to smell like the countryside because of where Van Gogh lived. However, the organizers say visitors cannot really experience the feeling due to wearing masks. Van Gogh Alive, the experience, was first presented in Singapore in 2011. Since then, the multimedia exhibit has been seen in 70 cities and has attracted some 6 million visitors. Conservation measures have managed to bring the world's most endangered cat back from the brink of extinction. In 2002, there were less than 100 Iberian lynx left in the wild. The situation prompted officials in Spain and Portugal to save the animal through a captive breeding program. They also tried hard to fight poaching and reintroduce rabbits, the cat's major prey, into the wild. By the end of 2020, there were over 1,100 Iberian lynx living in the two countries, most of them in Spain's southern region of Andalusia.
The main cause of death for wildlife, certainly in the natural environment, is related to human activities, roadkill, poaching, unwanted encounters. So the less interaction they have with humans, the better.
Despite the successful measures, the International Union for Conservation of Nature still lists the animal as endangered. It's estimated that the species will be out of danger only when its population surpasses 3,000. Urban development, hunting, and roadkill are the major reasons of death for wild lynxes these days. Brazilians have come up with a creative idea to combat population, that is pollution, and global warming, repopulating mangroves. The project is aimed at reforesting an area equal to 75 football fields in Guanabara Bay. Organizers hope to make the biggest mangrove garden in a country. Mangroves, which usually grow in tropical regions, are essential to maintaining water quality and clarity. They filter and trap sediments, heavy metals, and other pollutants. Mangrove forests are also able to store 3 to 4 times more carbon than other forests.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A mesmerizing hot air balloon festival has got on the way in the U.S. state of New Jersey. The sky was littered with nearly 100 beautifully colored hot air balloons in different shapes, captivating every viewer. The awe-inspiring event brought together COVID-wary citizens to experience joy and jubilation amid health restrictions. Pleasant weather made the experience all the more enjoyable. The 38th annual New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning is likely the largest outdoor entertainment event in the tri-state area since the pandemic began.
Nostalgia is in the air in Paris as the streets of the city are enlivened, that is, with old vehicles. The French capital has hosted an annual parade called Summer Crossing of Paris. It brought together over 700 vintage cars, motorbikes, buses, and tractors from all over Europe. The route started from a Vincennes Castle east of Paris and ended in the southwest of the city. Drivers crossed the iconic monuments such as the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe.
It is extraordinary because the automobile industry heritage and the Parisian architectural heritage, which is obviously absolutely fabulous, echo each other. We are driving through all of Paris's most beautiful squares.
The 14th version of the event drew hundreds of enthusiastic visitors from across France. People were asked to wear masks and keep social distancing because of COVID-19. Tehran municipality has inaugurated an art garden that puts on display Iran's art and culture. As Youssef Jalali reports, the cultural facility aims to reconnect visitors with Iran's rich past amid increasing preoccupation with modern lives.
Sit back and enjoy the beauty of Iran's ancient culture. In Kushk Art Garden, located in the heart of Tehran, visitors get to learn about Iran's music, literature, painting, and calligraphy, far from the hustle and bustle of modern life. Kushk hosts Iranian artists who create masterpieces that have their roots in thousands of years ago.
Miniature painting has been around in Iran since thousands of years ago. In miniature, we paint flat images with a myriad of details. We avoid adding shades to make it as flat as possible, since in the past, Iranians believed that divine light gives shape to everything.
Metal engraving first stepped into existence 7,000 years ago in Iran. It is the art of incising decorations and metals. In this workshop, I will be available every day for visitors to see how I can turn metals into beautiful handicraft.
Kushk is part of a bigger project dubbed Art Garden. The cultural complex consists of an art lake, poem and literature house, music house, and Kushk garden, each trying to promote an aspect of Iran's culture. Tehran municipality says it inaugurated the peaceful place, for it says cultural identity has been overshadowed by modern technology.
This precious place was a much-needed initiative to preserve the Iranian art and culture. As time goes by, technology gets more and more intertwined with our daily lives, and our genuine culture slips into oblivion. We need to have such cultural centers that safeguard our cultural heritage.
The Art Garden is situated on Abbasabad Hills in downtown Tehran. In recent years, the area has turned into a tourist attraction that houses structures that combine modern technology with ancient culture, such as this large pedestrian overpass called Tabiat Bridge, and the Middle East's largest planetarium, dubbed Mina Dome.
Kushk will be the last piece of Tehran's art garden, and will be a hotspot for a range of cultural activities, all aiming to revive the ancient Iranian art and culture, which experts believe have become a lost piece in today's hectic life. Youssef Jalali, Tehran.
Palazzo Farnese is one of the most famous palaces in Rome and is being used as the French embassy. However, some of the rooms there are not open to the public. Now, an artist has come up with a creative way to show the historic building to everyone. An Italian artist known as JR has created a mural art installation on the French diplomatic mission in Rome. The artwork is equivalent to a virtual hole and shows what the building would look like if there were no outside walls. JR has conducted similar dazzling projects on other buildings, including a mural in the city of Florence, providing people with a sneak view of architectural masterpieces.
There is a famous quote, one should always try to turn every disaster into an opportunity. A Swiss hiker with Parkinson's disease has put that saying into practice by hiking more than 1,100 kilometers across the Alps. Yves Aubusson, suffering from the disease for more than 16 years, completed the challenge in less than 100 days last year. During his journey, he scaled high altitude peaks and crossed nearly 100 mountain passes. Augustine says his first goal was to inspire fellow patients to be active even if they are gravely affected by the incurable disease. But he says his major motivation was to raise awareness of the debilitating neurological illness, which is little known.
What motivated me to do this hike is that I wanted people to know better this disease that is so little known. So I did something that I think was important and that maybe people will relate to. The fact that I did this hike, some people understood it more than I hoped. It went beyond our hopes.
The 52-year-old hiker, previously a professional golfer, is now planning for a new challenge that includes a bike and a tricycle. But he believes that if he could encourage other patients to do sports, he will definitely win his challenge. Burpees are one of the gym exercises that many consider it either a funny workout or simply avoid to do. But that's not the case with a Brazilian man who set a new Guinness World Record with 951 burpees in just 1 hour. Cassiano Rodriguez Luriano, a professional mixed martial arts fighter, completed this feat nearly a month ago that was later verified by Guinness record adjudicators. Luriano says he was driven by a promise made to his niece, Rebecca, who was born with a severe heart disease, and the gym set up a fundraising effort for her. Luriano had originally aimed for 1,000 burpees, but fallen short of that mark due to a leg injury he sustained 2 days before the feat.
I'm tired. It didn't go as smoothly as I thought it would go. I'm in so much pain now on my leg because I got hurt. And but I'm very, very happy with the accomplishment and in being able to help my niece. So that's the most important thing.
Luriano has not met his family since moving to Singapore in May 2019. He says the only way he could help them is using his athleticism. The previous world record was held by a Canadian who performed 879 chest-to-ground burpees within the same time limit in March this year.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم everyone who's listening out there. Here we are with another program of Islamic upbringing at IRIB English Radio. We talk about things that we might face as a parent and things that children might face as children they are, and things that we can do to sort those things out and provide them with the perfect and ideal upbringing that we're supposed to provide them with. Today we've got Brother Abdullah Al-Musawi with us here at the studio. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Welcome to English Radio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. We've got many things that we face as parents, and one of the things that do worry parents is the protection of their children. When we say protection and protecting your child, what kind of protection? What exactly is it that we are protecting our children from?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعنجل فرجه. There are two types of protection that we have to be mindful of. One is the physical protection, obviously. We need to make sure that they're physically safe, their bodies are intact.
That's the first thing that comes to someone's mind when we say protection.
Yeah, which we, as parents, we seem to do that effortlessly because, you know, everything is available to us, alhamdulillah. We have no problem in doing that, at least in our countries. I mean, there are places where sadly, a lot of parents cannot provide for their kids and they die of hunger, which they cannot provide that physical safety for them. That's one thing, which is easy done, and sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of it. And this is mental
protection.
Right. And, you know, when it comes to their, at least their beliefs and their ideologies and their fundamentals. So this is what we have to worry about the most. Because this is the most dangerous place.
That is very dangerous, and it's very subtle to be able to touch, you know.
Exactly. So it's easy for me to give protection to my child, make sure he's safe. But how do I make his ideology and his mind safe? Right? How do I make sure that my child, at least when he grows old, he will become, you know, his intellect is salim, is immaculate, as we say. And there's nothing wrong with him, and he has, you know, the right teachings being given to him. So there are a few things as parents we need to be very aware of that are dangerous to us and dangerous to them if we don't teach our kids to be mindful of them from a young, young age. So the first thing I want to talk about is bad friends, right? And bad friends, it's a big issue, right? If, you know, like Amir Al-Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayhi says, tell me who your friends are and tell you who you are.
That's beautiful.
Right. So it always begins with the friend. So usually kids go to school around the age of 7 or 6, depending on the country that you're in. When you go to school, this is where you start to form your friendship with others. Or in your neighborhood, if you go play, even under the age of 5, you go play with kids who are your age. Also, you get to form friendships there. So these two places where parents have to be very mindful of who they who their kids is trying to create that mental relationship.
And interestingly enough, the first friends that a child ever has is it's his own parents. And the first step might as well be to fix ourselves in the first place to provide him with the first positive friend in his life.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, this
we discussed that in the previous programs, how we influence their lives.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically that's how we should start. If the parents are not being good to the child, there's no point in talking about it.
We'll return after a very short break. Stay tuned, and we're going to be carrying about on the same topic.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Welcome back to Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about protection that a child needs and requires. We talked about physical and mental, and we're trying to elaborate when, where, how, and through what. So you were saying school years are very vital in this process.
Yeah, so schools, clubs, because, you know, like let's say if they go gym, for example.
Yeah, clubs, that's what you mean by clubs.
Well, obviously, we don't want them to go to the other clubs. That's the whole idea. Yeah. We're trying to prevent them from friends that will take them to the other clubs. And so from this young age, we have to highlight to them or teach them who are the good friends, who are the people they should hang out with. And as parents, it's our duty to find out who they are hanging with in the beginning with. So sometimes, like I said before the break, that if they create this bond between someone, it becomes very hard to break, right? So if a child, for example, it creates a bond with someone who's bad, and you as a parent, you can do, as we say, at-tashkhis, right? You can identify that this person is bad. But the child can't do that tashkhis. Why?
Yeah.
Because his mind is shut down and he's just going with his emotions. I love this guy. He's my best friend. No, I don't care what he does. He can do whatever he wants. That's his choice.
The thing is, that child's that child itself, the other friend, might not be a bad person per se. But the thing is, we know that the upbringing that child has had
might have a negative impact on my child.
Exactly. So, for example, the child, the other child, for example, he's he himself, like his parents did not care about him, and he's just doing whatever he wants, and they let him.
Yeah.
Now, if I let my kids go with him, obviously he's going to take it from him and adopt his methods and adopt his ideology, and then, you know, become, he wants to become like the other kid. So that's what we're trying to avoid. So as parents, we need to do a bit of search before this connection happens, because once it happens, it becomes very, very, very hard to break. And especially, like, especially because we human beings, we usually, you know, once we get in touch with someone, and then we, like, on a spiritual level, on a soul level, that relationship is very hard to break. Unless we break it ourselves, it will not be broken. Like, and someone from the outside would, you know, would have a hard time trying to break. So we have to make sure that it does not reach to that
level,
that level when it comes to better friends. Because if it does, God forbid, forget about your child. Even the Quran says, in a beautiful verse, Allah says, "Ya laytani lam attakhud fulanan khalila." I wish I did not take this guy as a friend. Why? لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ. He made me forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we're trying to avoid, that if he becomes dhal, he ends up in hell. And even we have a hadith that Allah says, well, you as a father are responsible. Don't think that's only in his head. You know, he's the one who became bald. He's the one who became misguided. Well, you his, you are his father. You were his mother. What did you do to protect him?
Mentally and...
Yeah, why did you let him go with anyone? You know, you should have chose his right friends for him.
Or
you should have put him in the right environment.
Provided him the utilities to decipher between the positive and the
negative.
Exactly.
So you need to, first you need to educate him what good friends are, what bad friends are. You need to look at around his circle. And most parents are oblivious to who their kids hang around with or who they talk with. And today is even more dangerous, because today, for example, you, if you're on Facebook or you're on Instagram, you can have thousands of friends, and each one sends you memes and clips and videos.
And that's really that's danger on the danger level is on steroids, if you phrase it like that. We're going to carry on about this, and we're going to be back after a very short break. Stay tuned with us.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran."
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with us. We're talking about protection and the potential threats that our children face in terms of friendship and their social circle. Yeah, so mentioning social circle, that is on a completely different level now with social media, isn't it? As you said, thousands of friends.
Yeah, because like on Facebook, for example, you can it became like a trend now, right? So the more friends you have, the more followers you have, the more popular you are, right? So this is how, this is how it works now. And like I said, with this comes danger, because sometimes, not only like back in the day, I remembered one of the lecturers, he was saying, he says, like, back in the day, we used to feel afraid when our kids got outside. We try to keep them inside as much as we can, because there are a lot of bad kids outside in the street. So we try to keep them inside. It's like now we are afraid to keep them inside. We just want them to go outside.
Because now the threat
is in their hands now, right? Yeah. So now you're not only having Muslims, you're not only having people who are the same faith as yours, but now you have Christians, atheists, you have people who don't care about anything. And these people influence you in a way or another, because when they get to talk to you and chat with you, sometimes they hit very sensitive points of your belief. And I had a lot of kids talk to me and send me messages like, what should I reply? What should I say? What I should? If they, you know, don't have that strong foundation, fundamentals, they will go with the flow, right? And especially they have no one they can talk to and refer to and ask questions. They will go. And so now he's sitting next to you, but his mind, his ideology is completely different than yours.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Yeah, it's like I remember one day my brother came to my father and says, "Dad, what would you do if I came and told you that I'm an atheist? Right? And that's the, well, at the end of the day, I have to apply the ahkam of Islam of an atheist on you. So this is the danger now. It's like our kids could be brainwashed, manipulated in their own seats while we look at them. Because mm-hmm. you don't know what they're doing. And a lot of people and a lot of parents, even when it comes to the social media, for example, this came as a side topic. They don't even know that there are programs that they could monitor their kids with.
Hmm.
Right? So there are many, many programs available, and a lot of them are free, that limits your child's device from accessing the internet. Or you can limit what time they should access, what time they shouldn't.
Mm.
It limits them from accessing, for example, porn websites. It limits them from accessing certain social media websites. It limits them from accessing certain games. Like, I have one of these apps, and I have full control over my kids' devices. And when it's time for the net to go off, I hit a button, all the devices die. That's it. And I can easily, like, see what they've done, every word they search for, every website they go to, I get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Who their friends are on the social media, I get to see it. So as a parent, you need to make sure that their friends or who they go with are, you know, under your monitoring.
You know, when you say these things, it might sound very controlling, but the thing is, everything has to be taken in the context, dear listeners. We mentioned everything before, like we've got previous episodes which you can follow at pastoday.com. We mentioned that everything that we tell them has to be a very mutual understanding, and they have to feel that they've got this sense of decision making, everything. So these things that Brother Abdullah Musawi has mentioned is a whole set. It's a complete set, you know, and we can't just enforce everything upon them without explaining anything, right? And as he mentioned, that everything has to be conveyed to them properly, in a friendly manner, make them understand, and then all of these things come at a later stage. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So yeah, that's it for today. That's unfortunately we're out of time. Please send in your questions at englishradio@irib.ir. If you've got suggestions or comments, we're going to be reviewing them also. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com.